We Share Radio.
Spread the word, spread the word.
Connecting the We Share community around the world. We Share Radio.
It's actually a tangible way of changing our lives.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're here for another We Share Radio event. We're calling it Event Channel. We still haven't come up with a better name than that, but there's a lot of events we're partnering with, like Future Fest, which is recording today, and Open Co-op, and all the co-working events in and around Europe this week, this year, in fact. And next on the line is Indra. So, Indra, what are you known for, and what would you like to be known for?
Hi there, and I'm interested to see that you're also working with Open Co-op, because so are we. So my name is Indra Adnan, and I'm the co-initiator of the Alternative UK, which is a new political platform, not a party, a political platform which exists to answer the question, if politics is broken, what's the alternative?
So what is, I was going to say that I'd like to record this for all those people that don't know, because I think people like you and me hang around these kind of conversations, so we hear a lot of it, but there's a lot of people I know that only engage with politics like every 4 years, or whether there's when there's a referendum or a Brexit thing. And so, like, why I don't think many people would disagree that politics is broken, but why is it broken?
Yeah, I mean, that's you know you went straight to the point there, Granny, because reality is that only 2% of people are members of political parties. And if you just let that fact land for a minute, you know, only 2% of people are members of political parties, then you realise that the whole political discourse, you know, the whole conversation around politics and all the stuff that the media is feeding on and reacting to, it's coming out of this 2%. You know, it's a very small amount of people that do consider themselves political and engaged enough to like want to pay money to a party, you know, want to turn up at their events, want to be available to them. So yeah, we're actually, you know, our audience is those, is the people you're pointing at, the people who don't think that's much to do with them. And the question is, why does it not reflect their lives properly? You know, do they not actually like the experience of it? There's so much, you know, there's so much complaint that politics is boring, or it's, you know, stale, and it's, you know, grey. I mean, all of these things we're addressing in the alternative.
Well, one of the things that struck me is I was one of those people, I say with great shame, that didn't vote for a long, 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 long time. And it was only after I got a good kick in from my wife, who couldn't, she's from another country, she's from Argentina, and she couldn't believe I was so apathetic about politics. And, you know, you have to vote in Argentina. It's really important. And there's a lot of countries like that. So I started voting, and I started reading manifestos, which are pretty dry. But my argument up to then is like, nothing changes. It doesn't really affect me. And then when I got, you know, involved, one of the things that did put me off is that so many, particularly now with social media, so many people are just like, you know, rancid online when it comes to politics. And it's very hard, which I think is what the alternative does, to find a space just to have a discussion about how politics affects us or what we can do to participate. So I've lost my question there, sorry, but
yeah, no, it's all right.
Chip in.
I'm really familiar with your description of events, and I think it's really common what you're saying, and that, and, you know, and I was also in that category of people who kind of reluctantly took part, you know, and when I took part, I had to actually put on a different person, you know, I had to be a different person. I had to speak in a certain language. I had to behave in a certain way. I had to make choices between, you know, binary options all the time. And it just wasn't reflecting my life. And for us, the moment came when I think Brexit was a kind of tipping point when we realized that we're in a moment now, a historical moment, where the sheer numbers of people who are disaffected with politics are going to start making themselves heard. All right. I mean, this is not like it just happened. It's, you know, we noticed it from, you know, the Arab Springs or from the Occupy movement. You know, it's like over the last 10, even 20 years, I would say since the advent of the internet, at least, right? It's not simply that, but at least since the advent of the internet. more and more people are finding ways to have their voices heard. The question is, can that become a coherent voice? And we're in quite a special moment now where some people with a lot of money are lining up to harness those voices, use emotional appeals to kind of get those people on board. And then there's a power in that. And we're saying, but is that really what we were waiting for? Were we waiting just to be harnessed emotionally by people with loads of money? Or is it that we want a genuinely alternative kind of politics that reflects us as we live our lives in our communities? So, what we're trying to do is actually a two-step thing. It's not simply start another party, follow us, we've got a new idea, because that we would then be obliged to use the same behavior as all the other small parties that are vying, for traction and vying for votes in Westminster now. And with our system, it's really hard to make an impression. You've got so many people who are members of the Green Party would vote Green, but one MP, whereas what happened with UKIP was that they raised the popular voice, right? Even with one MP, they went straight for the social media, for the emotion and all of those things. And they were able to harness, 52% of the vote that way. So this is the landscape right now of democracy. And what we're trying to do is create a space where people who want to, regain control of their own minds, of their own lives, of their own communities, they want more autonomy, they want to see power reflecting their own, reasonable and, generous, sort of ways of being together in society. They want to see that happening, but there's nowhere for them to meet and talk. And we're trying to create those spaces.
So one of my questions was for you was, if it doesn't sound too rude, it's like, do people even know what they want? Because as ran the one of the projects that was in New Speak House in London, was monitoring, someone designed a, I'm trashing it here, but someone built an app that would measure how much each party spent on Facebook ads, and the Conservative Party spent like £100,000 more than every other party. And then people who just, that doesn't pop up into doing that kind of research, were like, oh, well, everyone, well, they said this and they said this. And there's so much media, I don't want to say manipulation, but well, there is actually media manipulation and gaming it. And like you referred to just now, the people with the biggest spend get the biggest voice. And you kind of, don't know what to believe. And you get
Bernie, you're asking all the right questions, I have to say, because this is what is going on right now. So this is not a genuine alternative. This is like an extension of the old propaganda techniques that happened, that have been happening since, any one of us listening were born. It used to be that you used to drop, millions of leaflets over last expanses of country, and now you use Facebook. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of propaganda and there's a lot of manipulation. I think what we're trying to do is alternative. So, sort of open up this idea is, if this is all broken, what is the alternative, right? And what we're thinking the alternative is that people need to meet in person, in their communities, build relationship with each other. There's a lack of trust, and we're saying trust through friendship. Meet, discuss, be there in a community with each other, and then, evolve your own list of, or your own idea of what the future could be from that place, right? And that, for me, is an alternative kind of politics, and that people in this age, when actually we're moving into having more time rather than less time, how do we evolve our citizenship? How do we evolve our, creativity, our desire to be actively, influencing our own environment? I mean, it's by coming together at a community level, because, there's a possibility of identifying with each other simply on the basis of we live together and what's possible for us when we start to act together. Some people might think that sounds really kind of, obvious, that people have always come together across communities. But from a political point of view, it's quite radical because it's saying right from the start, you know, at town and city level, you know, we're not going to be divided just by parties. We're not going to, you know, make the decision to go left or right. You know, we're going to come together across these divides, you know, and it's for the politicians at Westminster to acknowledge the need for this. You know, how else are people going to regain their stability, have a sense of autonomy, have some purpose in their lives, create belonging for themselves? All these things that we know people need, you know, could start to arise from, you know, from creating the right spaces for people to meet with each other. And then, yeah, you're quite right to say they don't already know what they want, but that's because they haven't really decided together, haven't had a chance to do that.
The all the way through as you're talking is I'm thinking of the town of Frome.
Yes, exactly. You've got it.
So I'm going to link to a podcast by our friends on Upstream where they did two or three episodes with Frome. And I always remember Peter saying, really struck out to me. It's like, as soon as we, and I'll let you tell the story of Frome to, because you would do it in the context you are.
Yeah. I mean, Peter's, you know, core to our vision and our politics, because it's just so logical and sensible, you know, so he lives in Frome, you know, he regularly was meeting with his friends in the pub, you know, they were complaining about the fact that, you know, they never get consulted on anything, they don't participate in any decisions, they've just, they've just experienced another blank from the council about some money that was being spent locally, and they were talking, you know, they were really conscious of that if you want to make a representation in the council, you know, the best you can do is turn up and, you know, get in line and speak for 3 minutes. That's all you are allowed to do, you know, on sometimes really important issues. There's so much protocol, etc. So there were 17 seats on the council and 17 of them decided to, you know, go for taking over the council. It's just, you know, friends in a pub, literally. Some of them were ex-Labour councillors. Some of them were ex-Tory councillors, funnily enough. And they decided to come together as a community group and take over the council. Now, you know, it's the pattern across the country that only about 30% of people, you know, vote in local elections. So that's 70% of people that are, in a sense, available to think about what's the alternative. So they appealed to those people. And on the first go, you know, they won 12 seats. They had a majority straight away. Peter became the mayor. But on the second go, they got all 17 seats because they proved to people that this was a better way of working and being in your own community. So, you know, and then instead of saying, oh, we're going to scale this up now, you know, where is, you know, independence central? They wrote the book. So they wrote the book called Flat Pack Democracy. And, you know, it's like, if you like it, copy it. So it's a very different idea of how things change now. It's instead of scaling up or somebody being in control of the unrolling of all of these plans, it's, you know, create the perfect blueprint, prototype. When you get it right, offer the pattern to other people and they'll copy it if they like it.
So do you think we just get indoctrinated at school about this is how society should run with a government telling you what to do? Is it misrepresented? Because I feel like until I started investigating this stuff, which is still very new to me, I just thought that's how it is, you know? I'll give another example of, do you know the Outlandish project about school cuts, the website?
I don't actually. Why don't you tell me about that?
I shall link to the episode in the show notes. So Outlandish is a co-op, which is basically a web design tech company. And they made this project where they got all the publicly available data that's actually really hard to find and decipher unless you know how to, and fed it to a website. So every time a decision is made in Parliament about how much is being spent on education, you can get a real-time reading of. So last time I checked, my son's school, if with the current school cuts by the current government, £76 a year less will be spent on his education. You can put in your postcode and put a link in the show notes and find that out. But, you know, I didn't even know, you know, and it helped a lot in the last election, but I didn't even know that was available. So I just read in the media, you know, government announces cuts of this, and I don't know what that means, you know.
No, but you're pointing at the revolution there, Bernie, because, you know, what has changed over the last 20 years is, you know, access to information, you know, and the ability to connect with each other. So access and mobility, you know, and that, if you think about the 98% who are not involved in politics, you know, you give them those tools and anything really is possible. You know, that this is the moment for that. And when you say, you know, were we indoctrinated? Yeah, I suppose you know, that's one word for it. But, you know, I think it's more helpful to think of all of this as developmental. You know, what we were able to do once, what we weren't able to do once, we are able to do now. You know, there's all sorts of developmental aspects to this moment in time. And it helps you to keep staying going forward, you know, and claiming your space if you think that it's now possible for the first time, so therefore that's why it's happening, you know, as opposed to where are the evil bastards that stopped me doing this before. You know, it's a kind of a waste of your energy, and some people may disagree with that, to spend too much time reacting or trying to call out, you know, the people who are doing it differently from you. Because we've kind of got an emergency on right now, and the emergency is to, you know, save the planet and start to, you know, put right some of the wrongs that we just know, you know, have been present for too long. I mean, a lot of people have been working on decades, you know, whether it's the cooperative movement or the transition town people, the permaculture people. You know, there are huge networks of people who've been doing the groundwork for this emergence for decades. But what is shifting now is the ability of, you know, everyone else to become aware of their work, to become aware of the problems and where that work can be applied. You know, it's a solution-based, it's a solution-oriented moment, right? So that's what we do at The Alternative. One of the biggest, one of the most important things we do is to publish something called The Daily Alternative. And what we're publishing there is every day, another social political idea that points towards our, you know, empowerment and a future that we can all look forward to. So we're giving people the tools, we're giving people the ideas, actually. We're making connections between great organizations. And as a result of that, we believe we're changing the narrative about what's possible. So, you know, you might say that so much of the narrative of current politics is we're disempowered, we're angry, you know, we're trying to overcome the impossible, you know. But even that, in a sense, is a kind of a brainwashing. You know, when you look at what is now possible, the wealth of great ideas, the creativity of people, you know, in their communities, the immense, you know, caring and generosity of people that's never really represented in the media. You do read about it more on social media than you do in the mainstream press. But, you know, you need to be aware of all, you know, of all of this, pools of talent, you know, that are out there. If you want to step up now and get political for the first time, it's got to be a different kind of politics. And there are plenty of people who want to join with you in doing that. So, you know, your podcast is, you know, is one of those crucial bits of, you know, software that we rely on, you know, all of us are going to be relying on to make this idea more popular.
I'd love everyone to be relying on my podcast. So a couple of things there is, I'd love to attribute to it to someone, but I read this. Someone posted this thing about voting and not voting. And basically, there was a lovely little poem, and it came down to, like, the reason you don't vote is privilege. So it doesn't affect me. I'm privileged enough not to work. And that's not I'm privileged enough because I've got 7 helicopters. It's just I, you know, live in a semi-detached house in Essex and doesn't make any difference to me because, you know, I don't have to worry about voting and protecting what I, you know, society, because everything just works for me. Have you got a opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That is a character, definitely. That's a you know, character in the soap opera of our politics and our society, absolutely. Not really. I mean, complacency is not something you can afford when your planet is burning. And, you know, there are people hell-bent on, you know, manipulating your society. You know, you won't be able to... Nobody's that privileged that they can live literally on an island. You know, we're all affected by what's happening outside of us. And our children are going to be more affected. So I think it's, you know, I almost feel compassion for that person because it's going to be a rude awakening. You know, it's already a rude awakening for a lot of people who feel they don't need to care because they're not really liking what they're seeing is happening now. So, I don't know if that answers the question. It's just, you know,
it nearly does.
It's, you know, it's like the frog that's in the slowly boiling water. You know, at some point it's going to wish it still had the energy to leap out of the pot, you know.
That answers my question. Do you know, this is my favourite thing at the moment, so people that are listening to all of these will go, oh, not again. But I've been reading, you know, Full Factness, the book by Hans Rosling.
I'm sorry, you're introducing me to things today. That's good.
He's just, and I'll stick a link in the show notes. He's done TED Talks and he's worked with the United Nations and has access to like all this data. He passed away, unfortunately, last year, but the book Full Factness just lays out that the world is a much better place than we think it is. And he makes a point not to deliberately blame the media because that would be just an easy shot, but so much of how we think, you know, we're led to believe, maybe even my parents' generation will be like, oh, society's crumbling and we're all going to the dogs. But actually, everything is better. You know, you said earlier there's more access to information, you know, disease is down, there's less people. There are still people in dire poverty on the planet, but there's never been less people in poverty on the planet ever by like a huge percentage. The war in Syria and, you know, everything that came with that has made the death toll as a result of conflict go up quite sharply since that's been occurring. But there's the long peace, which is something I only found about last year, which is the period since the Second World War. So it's never been better. So, you know, if we, you know, in my humble opinion, if we explore things like the alternative and connect more as human beings and discuss what matters to us, which is something we did in London yesterday at a event about diversity and inclusion in co-working. And it was amazing. I've never had that conversation with a group of people in co-working about, you know, inclusion, diversity, accessibility, what matters to people. People disagreed and, you know, that how the world played out for them in their workspace. And you know, it's just brilliant that that's, you know, available. So that's that bit. And I want to finish because I should have come to this earlier.
Can I just interrupt just slightly? Because as much as, I really want to say that's a great story, what you're telling. But keep in mind that we're in London and we're having a good time and we're in, you know, we're where the creatives are and experiencing all of this. It's not quite the same everywhere across the country. Some people are having a really dire time. And part of the reason we run laboratories around the country is to specifically go to places where people couldn't tell that story and help to generate something in their community that would help them to begin to tell that story for their own community. So yes and no, you know, great, let's have a party, let's get with it. But at the same time, don't get complacent because a lot of people are not experiencing that and we need to share that with them.
And thank you for picking up on my riff there, because that is exactly one of the things that's, you know, it's if you live in Shoreditch, it's brilliant, and other parts of the country, it's just not happening. And that was one of my things, is like it's very easy. This is something Hans talks about in the book, is, you know, the gap. If you're at the bottom of the ladder, it's really hard to participate in society, and you probably need, you know, the decisions of politics. If you're an at-risk family living in, you know, Hackney, and not a cool kid in a co-working space drinking a trendy espresso, life is a very, very, very different experience. So I'm very pleased you clip me around the ear about my riff. How can we get in, how can people, you know, beyond going to the website, how can people, you know, find out more about Alternative and get in touch with it and visit a lab? And, you know, this might be the first, I particularly hope this will be like a first step for some people looking to, you know, take part in society.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, try and get to Future Fest if you can, because there's lots of connectivity happening there. And then really the first step into our space would be to go to the website, www.thealternative.org.uk. You know, then there is a Twitter feed as well, AlterUK21, and there's Facebook pages. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we're available and accessible. But if you want the whole story, yeah, go to our website and then ask us. If you're listening from, you know, outside of one of these vibey spaces and you don't recognize what we're talking about, please ask us. We'll come and, you know, help you host a laboratory where you're living. And we've just did had a brilliant experience in Plymouth last week. And it's a process of bringing people together and then bringing them into an inquiry and then helping them to take action. But all we're doing is creating the space. You know, it's happening at the local level all over the country, actually.
So how long does a laboratory, like I'm assuming it's a group of people gather in a room, and is that like an all-day thing or an evening thing? Or
It's in three stages. I mean, first of all, the preparation part of it is the most important. So we spend at least, you know, well, we spent 6 months really leading up to starting a laboratory in Plymouth because we wanted to really connect with the community in all its diversity, you know, meet all the different kinds of people who are not meeting each other. So, you know, we could easily find the creatives, you know, we could easily find the civil society groups. What we couldn't find easily was, you know, the people who belong to the Navy community, the people who are working in the hospitals, the people who are working on the estates. You know, the student population wasn't involved in anything. So it took some time to slowly make relationships with these different communities and then invite them into one space, which we called a friendly. Right. So it starts with a friendly, like a football match. Right. It's like you may feel some contestation going on here, but basically we're here for the fun of getting together. So we host the friendly. That's only two. That's like a couple of hours, 3 hours on a weekday night. You make it easy for people to come. We get local food and drink involved, that sort of thing. Then if people buy into that, then we take them forward into something called the inquiry. An inquiry is more like something that might happen on a Saturday afternoon, you know, 4 or 5 hours, kids are welcome. And then through, you know, carefully thought out, you know, facilitation processes, we get people to think about what is going on in this community, you know, what are its strengths and weaknesses, what do we like? But most importantly, if we were to think in 20 years' time, what do we want this community to look like? So we start to ask those questions. And that might take more than one session. So we might have, you know, a couple of, you know, inquiry sessions lasting about 4 hours at least, each of them. And then finally, we get on to the action-based, you know, part of the process. And people, you know, the same people who've been in this process, it's a bit like a citizens' assembly. They think about what concrete actions they want to take. And some of it could be, you know, they may decide to take back council, or they might decide to start their own local currency, or they might decide to do a new food or energy plan, or they might decide just to open up some spaces around the community, you know, to look after lonely people. We call them we call it tea with strangers, how to create spaces for tea with strangers. So, you know, all of these things are possible, and they get linked up with the, you know, local businesses or funding opportunities. So it's quite, you know, it's quite a process over a period of time. But by the end of that, you've got these citizens' networks. You know, you've got people who have created a network between them of local citizens, you know, across previously siloed communities. So that's how it works.
That's beautiful. That's what I think would be really important for people to find out here how to go through it. I'd really encourage you to go to the Alternative website, which there's a link in the show notes, and I'll put a link in the show notes to the Upstream podcast with Peter and the Flat Tap Flat Pack Democracy from Froome. And Indra, where can we find you as yourself online?
You can find me there. But if you just want to know about me, I'm also IndraAdnan.com. IndraAdnan.com. So you can find me there. You'll see the stuff I've been up to in the past.
All those little revolutions.
Yeah, those multi-revolutions.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for your time today. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at Future Fest. And take care. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There are many events, projects and conversations in the WeShare community. And we're doing our little bit here to connect you with even more of them. Come and say hi on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, or use hashtag WeShareRadio.
Spread the word.
Spread the word.
It's actually a tangible way of changing our lives.